Blog Talk Radio.
To start your show now, press 1 to hear important.
Since it appears you're calling back into a live show, we are reconnecting you now.
All right.
So it's interesting that it's.
Now I
hear me.
Yeah, I hear you too.
So we're going to get echo.
That's not going to work. That stinks. All right.
Well, for now, we will. Because I can't. Yeah, we'll have to end the direct call.
And then I'll get a cable.
So I can connect the Mac Mini to that, which still might.
Yeah, all right.
Well, we'll end the call. And in theory now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. So that's good. All right. So let's start Mixler. So we are live on Mixler. We are almost live on Spreaker. I forgot to set that up. Oh, again, Dave, you can't type on the Mac when you're using the wrong keyboard.
I hate that. I so hate that. Tell me when you're live on Spreaker. I'll let these guys know.
Maybe. Let's create. It'll be interesting to see.
What's going on, Mixler?
There we go. Allow. And, oh, what the heck? Oh, yes, allow my microphone. Thank you, Google Chrome. I hate that. That you think, and then you see way up in the upper right-hand corner.
Right. Yeah.
So we are going live on Spreakers. I'm hitting record on my recorder. There's a novel idea.
That's a good idea.
I forgot to do about 4 to 5 times. And we're going live on the YouTubes. Ask the podcast coach for March 14th, 2015.
Let's get ready to podcast.
It's time for Ask the Podcast Coach, everyone. Today, we're going to get your podcast questions answered every Saturday. We drink lots of coffee, get up early on Saturday morning, we talk podcasting. And my highlights of the week, you can find us at my Starbucks. You can find us if you are just tuning in, as we are every week at thepodcastcoach.com/live. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting.com, and joining me as always, the magnificent Jim Cullison from the AverageGuy.tv. Jim, how's it going, buddy?
James, happy Super Pie Day to you. It's 3:14:15, 9:26 a.m. in your time zone. Those are the digits that make up pi. So 3:14:15:9:26, if you want to remember the however many digits that is. Happy Pi Day to you.
Wow.
Super Pi Day. Super nerdy.
I was
going
to say, man, we've just pegged the nerd meter right out of the gate.
Like, hey, leave it to the average guy to bring the nerd. It's your geek off.
And then I know in my last episode of Pottertainment Magazine, I was quoting Yoda through the whole thing. And I'm like, can I sound even geekier? But,
as long as you're not talking like Yoda, that line. So.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah, we were we have a question in the chat room already, which is, why is there a Blog Talk Radio player on the website? No need to click that. We actually, we're going to use the Blog Talk Radio Direct Connect. Now, because of our fun-filled, sometimes, extensive setup that we have here, the Google Talks, the Google Hangout, the multiple co-hosts, and a call-in, it gets a little crazy. So I did the Direct Connect today, which was cool. I found it to work, and it works great, and it sounds cool. But let's see, what caused the problem? So that then sent me to the, let's see, so I still needed to get the phone into the mixer with just giving me the phone caller. And we're going to try that next week. I just don't have the cable. So I dialed into the direct connect, and then I dialed into the phone to get the phone call still here. And when we did, we heard my direct connect on the phone. So every time I said something, there was like a half a second delay. And I went, well, that's not going to be the least bit annoying. And
you needed a double mix minus, which is actually a mix plus.
I think that's it. The double negative equals carry the one.
Two negatives equals a positive. So double mix minus is a mix plus.
Yeah, something like that. So I'm still rearranging screens, trying to...
It's Math Saturday.
It is.
Daniel had said earlier in chat, this is better than Saturday morning cartoons. And remember we used to get education through our Saturday morning cartoons.
Figure
no
out.
Power Rangers, no whatever they watch today, or my kids are beyond that. But so this is your weekly dose of math education here on Ask the Podcast Coach.
What's sad is I can remember a lot of those jingles. 1 times 12 is 12.
Interjunction, junction, right?
That's what's your function?
That's right. Hey, I still go back to those things.
I do every now and then. I'm like, wait, 1 times 12 is 12. 2 times 12. But hey, if you got a podcast question, we have open phone line, and you can hit that phone line. It's 347-850-8200. We do have a field reporter this week, John from Let's Talk. I'm going to mess up his website now. Let's Talk Treasure. No, Let's Talk Metal.
Metal Detecting and
Treasure Hunting.com. I believe he says it at the beginning of the clip. But he was talking last week about how he had bought that dual cable, and I had bought the dual cable as well. In fact, I got a thing from Amazon saying, how was your experience? And I'm like, I'll let you know as soon as it arrives. I haven't got it yet. But he sent this in, and we're going to tweak just a little bit of what he says at the end. And it's a kind of an interesting we'll just play it and then we'll talk about it at the end. But this is John. He's using a cable. Well, he's
doing a field report for Ask the Podcast Coach. This is a test or a review of the HOSA Technology microphone cable, which is a dual XLR 3F to right angle 3.5 millimeter TRS.
That's not the right thing.
And right now it's plugged into the Roland R-05,
right.
And the input level is about 25. And I'm testing the with the maximum amount of background noise. I've got the washing machine going on, my wife eating, and the dog barking.
Now,
so I've got the Roland R-05 set to a low input level, and the left channel is an SM58 made by Shure, and the right channel is an ATR 2100 by Audio Technica. And now I'll try adjusting the input level.
If you're listening in stereo, it goes to the right channel here.
The input level is going up. I'm just talking into the SM58 right now. I'm bringing it up to 45, 50, 55, 60, 70, and maxed out at 80. So right now, this is the max input level. And as you notice, there's a lot more of the sounds of the room being picked up. My wife's turned on the sink and is washing stuff out. The washing machine's going on in the background. And so you can hear a lot more background noise. So if you're trying to work in a noisy environment, maybe bring down the input level. Okay, Dave Jackson and Jim Collison. This is the review of the HOSA microphone cable dual XLR3 to right angle 3.5 millimeter TRS into the Roland R-05 with an SM58 in the left channel and an ATR in the right channel.
So the part we need to first of all, John, thank you so much for that. And what I've been trying to do is go behind the scenes. Oh, Jingle Cart does not let me jump to different places in the thing. Because if you can, let me see if I can pull this up. If you listen to the beginning of that, what we've done is, I always use the analogy of a glass of water, right? If you fill a glass of water with, I don't know, 30% of it is full, the other 70% of that glass is air. And when you then increase, you know, if you magnify that glass to where the glass is now, you know, 100%, the air is also, you know, 300 times as loud too. So at the beginning of that example, Alphonic had turned him up, but his actual, the background there was more hiss. And actually, the dishes and stuff kind of got lost in the hiss. At the end of the clip, you could hear his voice without less hiss, and thus, without the, you heard the dishes and the things like that. And so when he said, record at a lower level, I'm like, you know, that wouldn't be my recommendation. I would say, to me, always go up to clipping and back it off a little bit. That's usually somewhere around -6 or -12. Let me see if I can.
Dave, don't you think you meant gain? Turn the gain down, I think, is what.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like,
okay. Your gain will expand the field. You know, I always like to think of it like a force field around your microphone. And the higher the gain, the wider that field goes out as far as what it's picking up. And if you crank your gain all the way up, you're going to get that hiss. And most microphones are going to get that hiss because it's expanded that field so wide. And it, like you said, it's just not great to do that. So I think if you want to get less background noise, turn your gain down and get closer to your mic.
Yep.
In that, and you'll get less than that. You'll never completely eliminate all that noise. It's going to pick up some of it. You know, a gate limiter we've talked about a couple weeks ago would be one of those ways then to bring it, because you can't, in most boards, you can't bring your floor up, right? You can't bring the minimum sound up. That's what you need a limiter for, or gate. So, you know, you're still going to get that. As low as you turn that down, you're still going to hear a little bit faint. Now, when you played that, Dave, I couldn't hear any of the noises in the background. So sometimes when you're in your home studio and you've got your Sennheiser, headphones on, you hear all that stuff. And it's a little frustrating, but realize people are going to listen to it in the car or on the plane, and they're never going to hear a majority of what you hear in the background, unless it's my wife who laughs really loud in the room next to me. You can hear her. But yeah, so I think that's what he meant was gain.
And Jim, can you hear this if I hit play? I don't think you can.
Hi, this is John Morgan. Do it
just barely.
Just barely. Okay, because it's in just theory. Barely. But if I do, let me see if I can turn him up, because I'll actually then turn you up, which is the problem. So let me play this a little bit.
Favorite for Ask the Podcast.
So there's a lot of hiss there, but if I go to the end of this,
and it's over here, at the Hosa microphone,
there's much less hiss down there than there is.
Now you're hearing that really well. I don't know if I'm definitely not.
Okay. Well, it's one of the things where it's on the computer that you're on, so I can't send it back.
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
But there is a definite notice. If you listen to the beginning of that and the end of it, there's a huge amount of hiss at the beginning, because if you looked at the actual sound file, he's got this much, that stuff. He's got a very low recording level.
So as far as the wave file,
it's a huge difference. So
right. When
you take that little itty bitty bit and then have to expand it to bring it up, you get a lot of hiss. So,
yeah, you want to fill that cup up. In your analogy, you want to fill that cup up just as much as you possibly can without clipping it, right? Because if you fill it up too much, it's going to overflow.
Right.
And so it's kind of finding that balance. Nothing beats, you know, continuing to practice with this. And I'm getting an echo back from me now.
Okay.
A little bit. Well, that's weird. I know your video just went wonky on me.
You should see my
screen. Oh, you're showing. I see.
That is the actual file. And you shouldn't be getting a echo now.
Yeah, so you see the tiny, bit to the left, and yeah, you're getting sound in, and yeah, probably it might sound okay, but to try and enhance that and bring it up, you know, it's garbage in, garbage out. If you try and blow that out, you only have so much depth of signal, you know, so many data bits to blow it out with. So it just doesn't give you good. Well, the one on the right is a little, it's a little better example of what
it kind of. He said, "I'm going to turn it up." He went from 25 to 85.
Right.
And
that's turning, sometimes that's turning up the volume and sometimes that's turning up the gain, and you have to get a good balance between the gain and the volume. They're two totally separate things.
Yeah, in this case he was using just the RO5, so he was just turning up the, you know, the input of the actual recorder. So, but thank you, John, for that. It's a cool little thing to play with, and it's good. I'm glad to hear it works. I mean, the bottom line is he had two microphones plugged into it and they both work going into the RO5. And so now he says, Daniel says, "I'm really quiet." Yeah, you'll hear about this on the School of Podcasting. Gremlins have come into my studio and somehow messed things up. I don't know. I need to almost unplug and go back. I'm not quite sure what's going on. I see me blinking on Mixler, so that's good.
Okay. And we'll keep. I am getting a little bit of an echo. Now it's gone. Okay, we're back.
But yeah, if you want to call in, 347-850-8207. Again, 347-8207. We'll talk about anything you want to. We always, that's half the fun of this show. You never know where it's going to go, and we have no phone lines waiting. And,
Dave, do you listen to me? Are you listening in your ears? Are you hearing the exact mix that's going out to the audience? Or is it a combination of something? Because I would think, you know, this is the challenge in radio. You always have a producer, and he's listening to the mix that's going out to the audience. And so they've got some control over what the audience hears by hearing. Is that what you're hearing?
Let me see here. If I do...
Because I think if you're addressing that, I think if I were to give one bit of advice on live is to make sure you're hearing exactly what you're sending to the audience, because you can come into situations and you might want to, even in your, if you're not going live, if you're coming off of your, if you're interviewing somebody, if your levels have gotten wonky and you're not listening to that final version that's making it to the recorder, you could be clipping, or you could be too low, or you could have that disparate volume between you and your guest. So,
yeah, it's interesting because at this point, I'm not sure what I'm hearing. I sat there and played with it. I just played with a bunch of stuff. Now I see I'm only in the left channel, according to my board, which is odd.
Too many knobs. Too many dials.
Lots of knobs, and there we go. If I do that. There we go. Okay, now we're back in business. But yeah, I used to,
okay.
I need to dissect this, and yeah, because it's...
Yeah, it's just a challenge. It's just one of those challenges. The more things you add, the more complex it gets.
Yeah.
And I am getting an echo. You're not hearing the echo in the back? It's very faint, but...
No, not at all.
Like it was before. Okay. Just a quick, audience, are you guys hearing me echo? Just throw that in chat.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm losing my...
Well, the interesting thing is, I was the last, like, three episodes of the School of Podcasting, I actually had to go in and do some noise removal. And I'm like, why am I getting noise, your typical kind of hiss, as if I'd turned up my knobs all the way up? And it's because I turned my knobs pretty much all the way up. And I just thought, well, it's, you know, it's still the new mixer. Maybe this one's just not as quiet as the other one. And there's a really cool feature on this one where you can basically say, show me my input with no, ignore the bass, ignore just how loud is this microphone coming in, and then you turn up your gain to where you get, you know, green and the occasional yellow, but never a red light. And I was way down for some reason. So I turned it up. That sounded good. And then I did an interview, and to make a long story short, I'm completely distorted. And I could kind of see it, like even right now, I don't know what's going on where, you know, you tend to peg the meter right now and I can turn you down. It's like, you know, what it is I'm not sure what I'm sending to the recorder. That's the problem.
And it's like you said, you need to know what you're listening to. We do have a caller.
It is the drawback, before you bring the caller in, it is the drawback to a voice recorder, in that they're so small, and you don't always know, unless you spend a lot of time looking at that meter, you don't have a great indicator of what you're doing.
Yeah, I mean, in theory, I could plug the headphones and monitor through that. That would be a way to kind of know, but hence the joy of Ask the Podcast Coach with, a co-host and a phone in line, and a YouTube, and all the everything else, so... Ending in 3159. What's your name and what's your question? You're on with Dave and Jim.
Hey, Dave. Hey, Jim. This is John Morgan.
Hey, there he is, the man, the myth, the legend. Thank you, buddy, for sending that in. Help us with your website. It's Let's Talk Metal and TreasureHunting.com, right?
Let's Talk Metal Detecting and Treasure Hunting.
I was close. Okay.
But your audio is sounding great. I'm listening, and I don't hear any problems.
Okay.
So everything sounds good. I mean, I don't think you have to adjust anything.
Well, there you go.
How are you listening, Johnny? On YouTube or Spreaker or Mixler? How are you listening?
Let's see. I am in Google Plus.
Okay, so he's watching.
So YouTube.
Yeah.
Basically. He's watching the video.
Yep, exactly.
There you go. Awesome.
And,
well, thank you for sending that in.
I sent you another one, and I think what brought that hiss in is I didn't have, you know how you have to go in your menu on the Roland R5 and set up your input mode? And I had plug-in power on, and I didn't need it. And I think that's what introduce a hiss. When you set that up, you're supposed to set up for stereo. I had that right. And then turn plug-in power off because you don't need that for the dynamic mics. But for that CS10EM, the binaural microphones that I sent you in, I emailed you the review on that. And
okay.
I need the plug-in power for that.
Okay. That's good to know. That you have that there. I looked at your audio file, I think the reason there was so much hiss is the volume when you were at 25 was so low on the actual recording that when you boost that up to -6, you're gonna include a lot of hiss, because if we use the analogy of the glass being, 3/4 empty, when you boost it up, you're gonna boost all that. There's a lot of room for sound in that file. I think was the big reason why there was so much hiss at the beginning. Because at the end, if you listen to that, if you listen to the beginning of your clip, we can hear you because Alphonic turns you up, but there's also a lot of hiss. And at the end, we still hear your volume. Pretty much your voice is at the same volume, but you hear kind of the background noise. But one of the things you don't hear is that shh, which I think kind of masked some of the background noise at the beginning of that. Because you couldn't really hear the wife and the water and stuff in the background, but you could hear a lot of hiss. And I think, to me, when I looked at the audio, I went, well, there's why, because it's really noticeable. If you actually look at the WAV file here, since you're on YouTube, let me show that again. It's a lot different from the end where you went from 25 to 85. And so at 85, the glass is almost full, not a lot of room for hiss. And so when you then run it through Alphonic, it makes, it took the quiet part, made it loud. Well, it also made the hiss a little more noticeable, even though it does, do its best to remove that. Let me go and throw that back on the screen for you here, John. Yeah, so you'll see here at the beginning, this is where you were, at 25. So this is a glass that's barely full, right? That's very little volume, but you need to be, somewhere up here. You've actually got a little more room you can go to, but that's okay. -3 is cool. So here you start turning it up over here. And so now there's a lot less room for hiss. And so what happens is when you take this and run it through Alphonic, it boosts it up to be as loud as the end of your file. But all this extra room is going to be hiss.
Yeah.
So what Jim was saying,
there's a happy ground. If mm-hmm. I brought it up to say 75 or something, I think that you got some of the effect of knocking out some of the background. but you don't get as much hiss. And I think if I would have tried to do it myself instead of run it through Alphonic through Amplify on Audacity, I might have come up with a little different stuff. But
yeah,
the big takeaway from it is, you know, you can take two professional mics, a cable,
yep,
and an R05, and not use those condenser mics, and maybe in a conference have a real lightweight, real portable kit that you can, you know, take with you for interviews in the real time.
Well, and you hit the nail on the head. The bottom line is to, you know, vote with your ears, because there have been times when I've set things up based on lights and I listen to it and go, this is, and then I'll tweak it and until I get, you know, the sound right and there's not as much hiss, and I look at it and go, but I'm only getting three lights, you know, but in the end, if it sounds better, you know, vote with your ears. So awesome. Well, thanks for coming. I'll have to, I know you sent me the file with the ribbon. I don't have that one ready this morning, but, it's been a fun week at the Jackson household with all the if you were a podcast award reviewer, you should have received an email from me with the instructions on how to get your free VIP pass. Rick gave out VIP passes for those folks because we were squished for time. So that's new. But anything else we can help you with, John?
No, I know you're real busy. I just wanted to be the one who broke the ice on the phone calls. Hey, you guys, call in. Dave needs help. See you guys.
Yeah. We had we had 10 callers last week. I was looking at my Blog Talk Radio stats.
It was busy.
And we're just hammering out, which is cool.
I am. There is an echo, Dave, on the YouTube for whatever. It's slight. It's like a... it's gone.
I'm going to say, and it's you?
Yeah, it's just me. But I'm gone now. So far, don't touch it. It's good. It's good. It's gone. Whatever you did, it's gone.
I didn't touch a thing.
Oh, now it's back.
Yeah.
Just leave it. You'll hear it in the recording back, and it's going to drive you mad.
Excellent. I love those. Yeah. Well, we've had that happen with me, where I've had an echo. And you know what are you going to do? We did have another. Somebody sent in a clip, so we'll go ahead and play this. This is from Colin.
Hey Dave, this is Colin from Toronto. I'm thinking of starting a podcast. I know you talked about Blog Talk Radio not being particularly effective. What's your take on Spreaker, Spreaker.com? Do you think that's a good place to start a podcast as well? You know, you talked about sound quality. What's your take on Spreaker in terms of sound quality? And is it too crowded to do a podcast on, or do you get lost in the shuffle? Can you load it on iTunes? What's your take on Spreaker? And just let me know. All right. Thanks. I can be reached. My email is hello4.
Okay. I don't know if you wanted that on the air, so I'll pause it there. So, Colin, thank you for so much for that. And I guess, number one, it doesn't matter where you go. If you use Libsyn, Blueberry, or Spreaker, or SoundCloud, for that matter, if we're going to throw in, you know,
Or even your own hosting.
Yeah, or even your own hosting. Most of those places do not tweak your audio quality. The only one I know of that does is BuzzFeed or Buzzsprout. They convert everything to mono. I don't think Podomatic does. But so that's that. Is it too crowded is an interesting question, because no matter where you go, again, your host is, in general, I wouldn't use Spreaker as my main website. I always use the hosting company as the hosting company and then send everybody to my website. And then just like when you go to schoolofpodcasting.com and click on play, you're actually hearing a Libsyn file. If you go to Ask the Podcast Coach and click on play, you get a Libsyn file. If you go to feedingmyfaith.com and click on play, you're getting a Blueberry file. So it doesn't, in the end, I'm not looking at the host to bring me an audience. The last time I checked, I have to go back and look. Spreaker does have an audience over there. There are people consuming content at Spreaker. It also gets you to iHeartRadio. And in the past, I didn't like Spreaker because they changed your file name and they changed your ID3 tags.
The only thing, and it's tiny at this point, that I have against Spreaker, and for the most part, I don't have anything against Spreaker. In fact, in the last 2 years, they would get most improved. The only thing they do, and I don't quite get it, is they don't offer unlimited storage. Pretty much when you get to 5 years worth of stuff, you have to start pulling stuff off the server to make room for the new stuff, which I don't get because I'm paying them a monthly fee. So I've talked with this, I think his name is Francesco, is the main guy over there. And is there any way in the chat room, is there any way to send your Spreaker audience to your Libsyn file? No. Basically tell them to go to your website. If they're on Spreaker, yeah. And that's kind of the interesting thing is there's no way, like you can get Spreaker stats in, I'm sorry, you can get, here we go, Stitcher stats in Libsyn and Blueberry. But Spreaker, because they are technically Libsyn and Blueberry's, what's the word?
Competition. Competitor.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Competitor. They don't share stats, which is completely understandable. But no, I don't. Jim, you use them, right? Solely.
The Average Guy stuff is all hosted at Maple Grove Partners, but Gallup stuff is absolutely 100% hosted from Spreaker. And we, we're not anticipating, you say a 5-year run, because we're partners with iHeartRadio as well, we get that just ginormous storage space that they offer. It's basically their pro package. And you get that for nothing. So if you get on iHeartRadio, it's taken forever for them to approve that. That's kind of a kickback or a drawback right now with iHeartRadio and Spreaker. It's just taken forever to get those things approved if you want to be on iHeartRadio. But good stats, easy to work with. We've been very, very happy. You can push it to, their RSS feeds are, you go to a manual setting and you can change them to be complete, they don't have those RSS issues anymore, and it's worked great, and it's in an enterprise environment. So, yeah, I'm a big fan. I still, for me, I would still say if you can, the best practice is have your own media hosting, and then use Spreaker as a secondary site, right? They've got a great app, and in fact, on the Gallup side, we've got quite a few listeners who are using the Spreaker app to listen, either live or listen to the recorded version. They're using that. If you want to get an iTunes app made, if you want to get an iPhone app made for $99 a year, they'll make it for you. And it's fairly Spartan, right? I mean, it's fairly tight and concise, and there's not a lot of options around it. I built one, and I didn't deploy it, but I built one. And but that's a great option. If you want to go mobile and you don't want to pay hundreds of dollars to have somebody develop that, you can do it through Spreaker and $99, and they'll put it on the store. So the most improved, Dave? Absolutely. I would give them the most improved over the last couple of years.
Here's the thing that you can't get any place else. Whoa, I just was playing this while you're talking. Let me share my screen, and because this is an audio show, I'll also describe what I'm doing. I'm looking at my Spreaker stats for, I believe this is for Ask the Podcast Coach. So, I have plays here, so I can see, obviously, I'm going to assume these are Saturdays. This is last March 7th. And I can see how many likes I get. I'm not sure if that's Facebook or Spreaker likes. Sources, right? So here I can see iHeartRadio. I got 103 plays in the last 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a lot more than I used to get. And I can see, I'm not sure. I don't use the Spreaker player, right? I actually host Ask the Podcast Coach on Libsyn. So it's kind of interesting that I'll have to look into that. But here's the one, geolocation, so I can get my how many countries, et cetera, et cetera. But here's the one you can't get any place else, demographics. So I can see 9% of my audience is male, 25 to 34. Another 9 is 35 to 41. But most of my audience is 45 to 54. And I went,
That's pretty cool. Those stats are good.
Yeah, so I didn't realize that you could get, in here I can see how many downloads per episode. And again, this is just on Spreaker. My actual stats are over on Libsyn. So I was like, definitely my best.
If you're not going to host it yourself, or if you're not going to use a Libsyn or Blueberry or self-hosting along those lines, you just have to have the player. I mean, they have a great, Spreaker has a great Twitter card now, and so if you link over there, it'll automatically put the player in Twitter.
I didn't know that.
I think, yeah, it's great. I think Spreaker works great on Google Plus, too. That's one of the ones now I go in, as soon as I upload it to Spreaker, I click, they have a Twitter and a Google Plus sharing option. And if you share that into Google Plus, it shares the player right into Google Plus. So you get a Google Plus player, they can put play and listen to it right from Google Plus, which is what you want, right?
Yeah.
Much like Vimeo or YouTube on for the video side. It brings across your album art and kind of stuff like that. Right now, I think everyone's talking SoundCloud. I think everybody should, if you're not going to use those hosting,
right.
I'd use Spreaker long before I use SoundCloud. Yeah. You know, it's SoundCloud stats are kind of jankety, and they're not as good as that. Spreaker's really in this to try and make it work, and that's who I like right now. I think they've surpassed Mixlr for me. You know, Mixlr for a while was kind of looking good, but Spreaker's done some good stuff.
Yeah, and then I know they had the thing where you can update the RSS feed. I
hadn't
played with that, so when
it's cool.
I was looking at it because I had an old post. When this call came in, I had an old post on the School of Podcasting where I was really bashing them because when they first had their RSS importer, it trashed your file name, it trashed your ID3 tags, and their stats weren't that great. And I actually took that post off because that's just not true anymore. Like I said, my only issue with them is, you know, once you fill up the space, you know, where do you go from there? And where Libsyn and Blueberry have unlimited hosting. So now, on the other hand, how many people podcast for 5 years? You know,
right.
That's the other thing. But and that's where you throw it into a package or back catalog and you sell it or whatever it is. But the other thing I wanted to just point out that your host in the end, it's like if I go to my musician background, you know, I never really looked at the clubs I played to bring in an audience, because in the end they didn't really. I mean, you'd have a couple of regulars in there, but you had to bring your own audience. And so whether I'm on Spreaker, Blueberry, or Libsyn, you know, it's you have to bring the audience. You know, you might get a few more listens right now, I would say, on Spreaker versus a Libsyn, because Libsyn doesn't have a community. Blueberry has their their directory over there. And Libsyn has a directory. Now I think about it, they're in, I think, Microsoft's phone. But in the end, you have to bring your own audience, and it's going to be crowded. But here's the cool thing. I just made a video for the School of Podcasting and talking about why you should podcast. And there's a picture of Cleveland Brown Stadium. Cleveland Brown Stadium holds 73,200 people. And if there is roughly, you know, 2,000 bloggers for every podcaster, that means if you went into that stadium, there would be 37 podcasters. So where's it going to be easier to get noticed? In a stadium full of bloggers or in a room full of 37 podcasters? And there are 1 billion podcast subscribers in iTunes. So you got a billion people looking for content. Where do you want to stand? In the stadium of 73,000 or in the room with 37 people? Where are you going to get noticed? And you're still going to have to battle those 37 people. You know, there are probably, I don't know, 13. We're probably between 10 and 15 now, podcasts about podcasting. It's got, you know, if that's...
That you know of.
That I know of, yeah.
They pop up all over the place.
Hey,
real quick, they come and go away. They come and they go. Back on Spreaker real quick. I want to be clear. I'm a little bit spoiled because once you get on iHeartRadio, you basically get their station. You know, they have 4 levels of service: station, anchorman, broadcaster, on-air talent. And that station is $120 a month, right? And when you get accepted to your podcast at iHeartRadio, you're basically getting that station subscription level for free.
Yeah.
So it's super important, right? If you're not getting that, you're going to pay the next, the level that we're talking about that makes some sense. You're going to pay that right on your $50 a month. So you don't have iHeartRadio, Spreaker can be expensive. And I forget about that all the time because I've got that iHeartRadio subscription in there. I don't know how long that's going to last for, or if they're going to grandfather us in. Or those are all risks. And when I put the Gallup podcast on Spreaker, I knew those risks going in. That's someday I may have to move them. Now, I'm okay with that. The way we do our podcast, we're going to do them kind of in seasons, and I'm kind of okay with that. So, but no going in. I know podcasters go crazy about these kinds of things.
Yeah.
Well, as we talk about
it. Because we had a little bit of a Google hang-up.
Oh, yeah. So the broadcaster, which for most podcasters it would be the minimum, is $20.
Okay.
And then the anchorman is $50 a month. And the station, that's the one that you get with iHeartRadio, $120 a month.
What do you not get when you do the $20 a month plan?
Well, you don't get the full set of stats, and I don't know what the difference between advanced and full is, but there's some obviously it's a drawback on that, and the hours are severely limited. So you get 10 times more hours on station than you do on broadcaster. So 510 hours worth of storage on broadcaster, 1510 hours. That's funny. That's a 10. Why would it be 1510? But 1,510 hours on Anchorman and then 5,010 hours on station. So all those have a 10 in them. That's kind of strange.
Yeah, see, and that's why they don't have...
And then the live broadcast amount changes, too. Broadcaster is 3 hours. Anchorman is 5 hours. Station is unlimited. So, again, the iHeartRadio plan is the unlimited. It's super valuable. I mean, that's a great plan. So
right. It'll be interesting to see how long they keep that up, because somebody's paying that
bill,
you know, and if they're, every time you get in, Clear Channel's paying $120 a year.
Well,
yeah. There's probably it's probably not the full.
I doubt iHeartRadio is paying for that. I'm sure they've made some kind of concessions to,
yeah,
you know, advertising concessions or something. I think it's probably the other way around. I think iHeartRadio is probably paying them a chunk of the advertising that they get for it. So it's,
yeah,
whatever's being played. And iHeartRadio also, Dave, I've seen some spikes in my iHeartRadio numbers, meaning I think iHeartRadio has some algorithms that's running through where they're featuring you for a while, and then you'll see this spike in your iHeartRadio numbers, and then they go away. They go down for a while, which is, I think, why it's important if on your podcast you've got ways to bring people back to your site.
Yeah.
Back to your site. You want to connect them to you, not to iHeartRadio.
Well, I know... I've emailed a while ago because we are listed as the podcast coach in iHeartRadio. And I've said, can we throw an ask in the front of that, please? And not exactly stellar support.
Well, this is the trouble, right? So what happens is you set up your feed on Spreaker, right? And then it feeds it to iHeartRadio. But I don't think that connection is refreshed very often.
No.
So you must have to ask Spreaker, would you refresh my feed on iHeartRadio, because it took forever. It took months for that, when I changed my podcast name, for that to work.
Okay. I'm going to say, because that's one of those things that...
Razor thin margins on this is what the deal is, right? They're probably running this a team of three people, because it's all being based on advertising dollars that are coming off iHeartRadio. There's no other money coming in, right? iHeartRadio doesn't charge for anything. Spreaker is not charging for anything. And so my podcast has to make advertising dollars for them on iHeartRadio for this whole model to work. Now, they haven't cut it yet, which makes me think they're making some money.
Yeah.
Or they've got venture capital money or whatever. But now we're getting some weird audio effects here today.
We are getting some strange. This will be another fun one to edit. Because I look at it, I'm like last week, I actually redid it because I ran it through, I think, Alphonic, finally. I ran it through Alphonic and then basically just squished it via compressor because the phone was way down, and it's a fun show to do, record, edit. It's Ask the Podcast Coach is just fun all the way around. But I know Mike Dell is in the chat room. He does podcasthelpdesk.com, and he actually, his last couple episodes, do I have that? I do have this queued up. We can do one of these.
In case you missed it, it's time for a podcast rewind.
On the show, he was talking about how morning radio is awful, and it was picked up by a morning radio crew, and they played his podcast on their show. And I guess now Mike is going to be a co-host on the morning radio show. He actually interviewed that guy. If you go over to podcasthelpdesk.com, Animal, whatever his name is, Campbell,
Animal
something, I forget what it is.
The jerk.
But he seems like a really nice guy. He's really got the heart of, he wants to bring back radio to when it was, you know, key, with personality and entertainment and that whole nine yards. And Mike's got him podcasting now, so that's going to be kind of cool. But I guess Mike's going to go in and be sitting one day as a co-host. So he'll have to, you know, drink about 15 Red Bulls. And because Mike's not, he is slow jazz, my friend. You know, you listen to Mike and he's just, he doesn't get super excited. So it'll be kind of fun. I think he even said that. He's more NPR. So Omelette. Yes. How can I forget Omelette?
Do you have any issues with Chatwing today?
I had it tell me I was inactive for 15 minutes.
Yeah, well, it's not updating dynamically for me at this point, so I wonder if they've got something. Yeah, some mornings it's perfect.
Other mornings?
Other mornings it's not. We with the Gallup podcast the other day, I finally, the networking, our senior networking guy, overall of what we do with the internet and such, I'd been talking to him about some of our work, and he said, hey, I'd like to get on the network with you while you broadcast and just kind of see how this thing works from a networking standpoint. So we created a Google Hangout. We went live. We just did a non-on-air, right? So just a hangout. And that actually uses one kind of protocol. And so he was like, oh, I see it here. Let me elevate that to a higher level so you don't get any, you're not competing on the network with all the other HTTP traffic or all the other traffic that's on there. And I said, okay, I'm going to hit broadcast. And when you broadcast, it actually changes it to a different protocol on the web. So it's changing the protocol. And I think it goes pure HTTPS when you go into broadcast mode. And so then he found that and elevated that as well. So we got priority traffic across it. And man, that made a huge difference in the quality of our audio and our video last week when we were doing the show. And so that's one of those things too. If you're broadcasting at work, if you're starting, more and more people are starting to do this at work, I would spend some time sitting down with your network engineer and having him sniff, they call it sniffing the traffic that goes across to get your traffic prioritized. Because he was like, wow, you guys are pushing a lot of data when you're doing videos. And sometimes in the building, we might have three different HD signals going out to the Google servers to be recorded. And so it does take a lot of bandwidth. It does take a lot of juice to get this thing going if you're going to use Google Hangouts to get it done. Skype isn't too much better, although we've been doing some testing. Mike Howard and I have been doing some testing with Skype. And ironically, a point-to-point Skype connection uses more bandwidth than when you add the third person. As soon as you add the third person, all the bandwidth goes down. And they're not sending, it's like when you're point-to-point, they're sending more data, a better picture, better quality sound, those kinds of things, whatever that is. As soon as you add the third person in, it drops down almost a third in bandwidth size when you add that third person on Skype as far as what it's using. Now, we couldn't see a difference in audio or video quality when we did that, but that's one of those kinds of things where if you're in an area where bandwidth is at a minimum or you don't have great access to a lot of good bandwidth, those are some things to consider if you're trying to do these live calls. They can be tricky to record this way.
Yeah, I actually have a consulting call today that the guy basically just wants to know. He's got three people on a Google Hangout, and he wants to bring Blog Talk Radio in. And it's like, okay, here we go. Depending on what he's doing, it's going to be kind of interesting to see if he wants, you know, he's got this Personas, is that how you say that? Insane mixer. I mean, it's just, I get the feeling I know John Lee Dumas uses some sort of Personas thing, and he's just got insane amounts of gear. Are you guys seeing me freeze up as well? I'm freezing up.
Yeah, I'm hearing you freeze up too. Am I freezing up for you?
Close a tab or two. I know, that's the one thing I really hate about Chrome. Is for every tab you open up, you know, it seems to chew up more memory, and, you know, so I'm closing things as we speak, which is often bad. This is usually we wait till the end of the show for everything to lock up. I see I'm frozen again, which is great fun.
It's skipping a little bit on you. You might want to try decreasing your bandwidth on your camera. So drop that down one. You know, on Google Hangouts, you have the ability, if you go up to the toolbar on the top, and I'll just say this for our audio listeners as well. If you go up to the toolbar at the very top of the screen, a black bar up here, then you'll see some bars that look like the bars on your phone. You know, they go from small to large. And if you select that, in most cases, by default, Google Hangouts are set with audio with full HD on, right? It's an auto HD. It tries to do some bandwidth sensing. It's the algorithm for that is not always great. And so sometimes if you're having video problems, if you just decrease that, and I'll decrease mine too, just so I'm equal with you, Dave, our video quality will obviously drop some, but it will help. Sometimes it helps the connection. It not bouncing back and forth between HD, especially if you're teetering in that bandwidth area where it's like, oh, there's HD. Oh, no, there's not. Oh, no, there is. Oh, no, there's not. No, there is. No, there's not. That's not great. So now if you shut it down one, take it down a clicker one, you can also crank that all the way to the left and it'll go audio only. So it'll completely cut off your camera and allow you to do audio only interviews. So you can use Google Hangouts on air. They don't have to be video. You can just shut the video off and go audio only.
Yeah. There's a question in the chat room. Bill Conrad wants to know, using Adobe Audition, processes, conditioning, do you use to edit and clean up your sound? Well, number one, we've kind of talked about this today. Get the best recording you can first. Because in the end, before, you know, like I said, the last couple of weeks I've had to do noise removal. And once I get things right, I usually don't have to do noise removal because there isn't really enough. You know, if I want to, I can go through and spend the 2 minutes to do the noise, whatever it's restoration is what it's called in Audition. I can do that. And other than that, I put the channel with me. So I basically have my music on one channel, I have me on the other, and then I have the whole whoosh sound on the School of Podcasting in another channel, which, by the way, if you listen to last week's show, I forgot to mute. So halfway through an interview, just whoosh out of nowhere. I'm like, okay, good. So I use multi-band compressor, but I don't have it at 100%. I think that does a little overboard. And then on the master channel, I have it do hard limiting at 2-6. And what I need to do is over at audiomasters.com. What is Mike Russell's little Audition school over there? I know he's got a tutorial, it's probably on YouTube as well, how to get to -16 lufs using Audition. I know he's explained that somewhere. So I should probably go and look at that as opposed to just slamming things into -6. And then what I also do is anytime I use compression, I look at, like, because I can jack up the volume of a channel to where it's almost peaking and then have a hard limiter. That's going to really affect your sound. It gives it a bassier sound, but it also makes it a little muffled because you're really making that compressor just smack things down. Whereas if I have everything almost up to like -6 on the volume on the channel, and then the master channel is limiting at hard 6, it doesn't have to do a whole lot of limiting. It's only for those times when things go a little left of center. Now this morning I recorded a thing for Blog Talk Radio. So now if you were to listen to something on Blog Talk Radio of this show, you would hear Dave Jackson say, Ask the Podcast Coach is brought to you by the School of Podcasting.com. Use the coupon code BTR when signing up at the School of Podcasting. I recorded that. I did the total, like, maximum radio voice guy with the multi-channel compression, and I just squished the heck out of it. So I boosted it up a little more and had the compressor really just kick it down, and it did. It gave it that big, bassy radio voice guy thing. So you can kind of tweak it, but those are the two I use. Basically, I use a little compression, and I use a multi-band compressor. And if you're using Audacity, check out Chris's dynamic compressor. And you can find that over at the audacitythepodcast.com. Daniel has that over there. A little noise reduction, and hopefully I don't need it. But other than that, and then in some cases on the Jeff Brown interview, that was another one where I really started noticing the noise because I took Jeff's side and my side, and when I made it mono, there was a lot of hiss. And so I went through there, and this was in Sony SoundForge, and I'm kind of surprised that Audition doesn't have one. I used a noise gate to, when I wasn't talking, to basically take it down to nothing. because it was, that's when I started going, what is going on with my stuff? Because I'm hearing stuff. And again, if I was doing a trucker podcast, I wouldn't have to worry about this, but I'm sitting in a quiet room in my office doing this, which is half the problem. When I listen in the car or things like that, it's probably nothing to worry about. I've told the story before that on my first podcast, I used to obsess over the sound of my fan on my computer, and I would talk to my audience about it. I'm really sorry, and I got a noise gate. And finally, somebody wrote in and said, Dave, I have no idea what you're talking about, and I wish you would move on. Because they couldn't hear it. Because they're listening in the car, they're listening on the treadmill, and things like that.
Yeah, your audience isn't too excited about hearing you apologize, to be honest with you. Most of the kids, you know, and this is a thing I'm guilty of, and I need to stop doing it. They also don't want to hear about how busy I am. They don't care, right? They've come to hear your content. And so when we come on, we're like, well, I was hoping to do this, but I had been so busy. Guess what? Everybody's busy, right? Everybody's got a life. You're not the only one who is, you know, doing this and doing that. And Dave, you and I are both super busy, but people really don't want to hear about it. And I caught myself several times saying, blah, 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 and it's been so busy. And that, I think, is like a big no-no with podcasting. Again, they don't care. They're like, so what? You're here. Now bring the business, right?
Exactly.
Let's stop whining about who killed who, you know, those kinds of things. So.
Yeah, I see in the chat room, Mike Howard says, Mike Russell has a great YouTube channel about Audition. He hasn't posted recently. Of course, the number one reason people quit posting, that's right, babies.
Yep, babies.
And he said he's got a new one. And if your show is less than 40 minutes, I think is the thing, I really like Zoom.us. There's only one thing I hate about it, and that is you have to download Hello, an exe file to join the meeting. And I'm like, what year do they think this is? What? I'm surprised, like, virus protection doesn't go nuts when you're downloading an exe file. But anytime I use Zoom.us, the audio is awesome on that thing. But the free version, I think, only lets you broadcast for 40 minutes per meeting. For free.
You can buy for $5 a month or something like that. You can buy the upgrade and go unlimited. So that's very reasonable on Zoom. Very, very reasonable. And I love the fact that it records both the audio with the video and just an audio file. So, and you get this, if they, now, okay, this might be a situation that they just had a broadcast way, like, yeah, like a Google Plus does. And like Howard says in chat, you know, at the JPEG to RAW studios that they have, that Mike has there, he has poured hundreds of hours and hundreds of dollars into using vMix, where you could use Skype or you could use Zoom to broadcast those kinds of things out. But podcaster is not going to spend that money, or is not going to spend that time to necessarily figure out how to get all that to work. So yes, while we hate the quality of Google Hangouts on air, they're still the easiest way to broadcast.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's still, I mean, that is, find me an easier, cheaper way to do it, and I will absolutely do it. And there isn't one, because you can't get cheaper than free.
And then, yeah, exactly. And then I can host my video for free. Deborah,
yeah, right.
from last week, I believe, says, what does compression do to the audio? Well, that's a fun one. In a nutshell, the super, and this is where all the audio files are like, but basically, it makes the loud stuff quieter and the soft stuff louder. In a nutshell. I mean, that's it in like 10 words or less. It does so much more. There's more to it, because you can say how much to squish it when it gets too loud and how much to boost it when it gets too soft. But in a nutshell, that's what it does. There's a program called Auphonic. We talked about it last week, that basically does that, and it removes hiss, kind of. We listened to John's clip today. That actually had been Auphonic. That's how much hiss was in that file, that the anti-hiss tool had still kind of left some in there. But Jim, anything else you want to throw in on compression?
No.
That's pretty much it in a nutshell.
Use as little as you can.
Yeah.
You know, the more you monkey with your file, the weirder effects you're going to get in there. So record it right the first time as much as you can, and use those tools if you have to. But oftentimes the closer you get to native, the better off you are.
Yeah, that's really it. The best, I was playing this week, when I was first troubleshooting my trouble, I took, try to isolate stuff. So I took the mic jack out of the stereo, out of the
mixer and went right into the H5 and said, let's see what it sounds like from microphone to that. And that's when it dawned on me that I used this via insert jack. So I'd have to rewire. That's where I went, hold on. I went back to square one. But yeah, try to go anytime you're troubleshooting anything.
Start pulling cables. Yeah. Just get everything out of there.
I mean, if I wanted to introduce a noise right now, and I'm sure this will happen because I've done it. I've got the iPad plugged in. Let me turn the iPad up, and I'm going to plug in a USB cable into. I have one of those power strips that has a couple USBs at the end. So here's my USB cable. And as soon as I plug this in to this, doesn't that sound lovely? So it's just one of those weird things that you know, isolate stuff. You'll be amazed at the little things that add noise and hiss. And that's. I actually moved the School of Podcasting this past week. It took me like 2 years to do it, but we actually have a new platform. And I'm so happy because I'll still be tweaking that as we go along. But one of the next things is to rearrange this space. And because I've got my DBX over here. I've got the mixer right here. My phone is right there. Phones, anytime you get any kind of weird noise. The other day I was sitting there and all of a sudden I got my headphones on and listening to music through the computer and all of a sudden I hear this and I just moved my phone and put it over here and it went away. So I don't know what the deal is, but anytime you have a lot of electrical stuff, my goal was to get, like I have a power strip on my desk, not a good idea in general because electrical,
Get that stuff away, get it down and away. You know, the other thing is monitors. They put out a huge electromagnetic field around them. And as I look at this, you know, so sitting on my desk right now, I have these two big monitors that I'm looking at. I have two big shelf speakers that sit underneath them. I have so much electromagnetic stuff going. So surprisingly, I'm not dying of cancer right now, right? But I've got all this electromagnetic stuff. And then right next to it, I have my mixer. And I keep thinking, that's probably not very smart, right? I mean, sound waves and are all affected. These analog and digital video or waves are affected by this electromagnetic field. So sometimes you just need to have to get that stuff away from. You got to spread it out, and that's why it's important to get really good shielded cables as well.
The other thing I see the chat room is talking about Auphonic. One thing, there is an online version which is free for up to 2 hours, which I've been using for my podcasting for free experiment. And they do have a desktop version, which I like their desktop version. It isn't quite as flexible in terms of uploading to other sites and things like that. But the one thing I always like to know, let people know, is if you convert to MP3 using the Auphonic desktop version, I don't get it because you're paying for it. They use the Lame encoder. And I'm like, come on, I just paid whatever it is, $80 for the software. Can't you pay for the...
Pony up for the writing.
And you also can't do a mono file to MP3, which I'm not anyway because they're using the Lame encoder, but I usually just keep everything as a WAV file, throw it through Auphonic, and then run it through either iTunes or Audition or something that's using the Fraunhofer to convert it to an MP3. But, wow, we're running out of time already. Holy cow.
The time is done. We're at the end for the week.
So. Next week, we'll have the Direct Connect, maybe. Eventually, I want to kick the tires on all the Blog Talk Radio stuff. Like, actually, their chat. It's going to be sad the day we use the Blog Talk Radio chat instead of Chatway, but...
I may revolt on that one.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. So that's coming down the pike. So this week, we're close. I just need a cable. And some time to test. So
test.
In the event my wife is watching, she's fine. She had some kind of outpatient surgery this week, and she's fine and dandy. But in the event she's watching from the hotel or from the hospital, hi, honey.
No, she's there.
I
doubt it.
So she's.
And why would she?
She's really bored in the hospital. Coming home today, which is good. But in the event she's watching, hello. And,
no HIPAA violations. Let's just end it there.
But Jim, where can everybody find you?
Out of theaverageguy.tv. And some folks asked today about the Gallup stuff. Just go out to coaching.gallup.com if you want to see what we do from an enterprise standpoint.
There you go. And you can find me
at schoolofpodcasting.com, the new and improved schoolofpodcasting.com. Use the coupon code ASK. And I think I'm just going to make it ASK. I guess I need to make it ASK20 because it's in the past episode. ASK20 will save you something on when you sign up. That's the whole fun thing. I have to take all the old coupon codes and bring those over. The joy of having a podcast. That stuff lives on forever.
It does. It's forever. Podcasting's forever.
That's it. So we will be here next Saturday, as always, 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, askthepodcastcoach.com/live. Thanks for listening. Thanks to the chat room. We'll see you again next week. Take care, everybody. I'm getting smart to keep that mic. Now, here in my headphones, that music was blasting my face off.
No, it wasn't too bad here.
And here on the recording, it was barely, it was making the lights
yeah.
up. But yeah, today I'm going to retrace everything. I didn't change anything, but
yeah.
Apparently gremlins have come in and done something weird.
We got to get you hearing on the feed out. Yeah,
because right now, if you put a gun to my head, I'm not positive what I'm sending to you. It used to be the sub. In fact, I think it's still the sub, but that can't be because then you couldn't hear me. Apparently, I'm sending you.
Some boards have that ability to send the mains to the monitor, and that if your main out is what's being fed into the broadcast, then that's what you want to listen to.
No,
but
I know.
I have a feeling it's not.
Yeah, I'm sending you either an auxiliary or a sub, because there's a something, but it's the monitor. That's it. That's the part that messed me up on this. I have an auxiliary send and a monitor send, not an auxiliary two. That's when I first got this board, that was one of the confusing things. But I will, that's the other thing. I have, this is sitting behind a desk in my, here, it's going to be dark, but I mean, here's my messy desk. So here's that. And the problem is it's got a wall behind it. So seeing behind the mixer, you know, I kind of have to crawl into that space. And, yeah, look at my mess. My desk is just a disaster area right now. And then you've got the mountain, tons of water over here. I think I've got some Mountain Dew on the floor. It's just, I need to clean up here. It's getting, when you have to, like, crawl through the space to get to your desk, that's not good. But,
whenever I do that, I get, then I sneeze for, like, a week because you stir up all that dust. And we had to move some, last weekend I moved some stuff around. Was it last weekend? I moved some stuff around here in the studio, and then I didn't get to run done until like 1:30 in the morning, and then I had to get up at 6 for work the next day. That was really bad, but I sneezed all night.
Yeah, somebody mentioned, I used to have this one labeled iPad. I took mailing labels, and that is kind of odd. Whereas, because I used to have normally there'd be a white mailing label that said iPad. So I knew
yeah.
what cable to plug it in. It must have fallen off because it's hilarious. Like, who uses mailing labels anymore? I pay all my bills online, you know, and I got them, and they're like 2 years old, and they're barely sticky anymore. And I used to have them on the board. The old board had, you know, it was like Dave, Jim, phone kind of thing. So I always knew what was what. But that's always fun.
It's always a challenge, especially the more stuff you add in, the more complex the setup becomes. And I found too, you get that, like you demonstrated here a few minutes ago, you'll plug something in that's not plugged into the rest of the setup, and then you get that nice in the background, you know, and you're like, you know, and you got to do the ground fault, whatever.
Yeah, right. And exactly.
It's like, well, I don't want to do that. So it's always a challenge.
Yeah. And that's just where, I mean, I saw a guy in, it might have been the Facebook group or something like that, and he has an RE320, and he's thinking about getting a Heil PR40. And I asked him, and I said, is somebody in your audience complaining about your audio? Because I'm like, that is, you know, whether it's better or worse, I'm like, surely your audio sounds fine. You know, it's weird how we keep finding, you know, compressors and limiters and microphones, and, you know, there comes a point where you're like, yeah, that's good. You know, you got brake, gas, and steer. You can drive now. Just drive.
Right.
And I think that's part of, I have a great comment that I'll probably throw into the school of podcasting, where a guy was saying how podcasting is a state of mind. Because he said he was writing a paper for college, and he thought about it, and it was about, okay, who's my audience? you know, and what am I really trying to say? And I need to get to the point in the paragraphs, and I need to have wow content. And he goes, it's really kind of a state of mind. And I was like, that's kind of an interesting way of looking at it. We do kind of always, I think at the heart of us, we always want to constantly improve. I think that's part of the podcaster's mindset. So we're always open to new stuff. And then we like technology. So like, I still don't know a whole lot about Audio Boo, but I heard where they hired Russell, Russell something. He's a comedian from.
He's big on their front page right now.
He's big. I mean, he's got a new thing on Netflix. He's been in movies. I guess he's a huge comedian, especially in the UK. He's actually pretty funny. I watched his special on. He's crazy.
He's just nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, he's insane.
And he's one of those guys, he's a little bit reminds me of George Carlin, that a lot of his jokes aren't jokes. It's just stuff that you go, well, yeah, why is that? You know, like George Carlin is like, why are we passing laws to ban the toy guns, but we're keeping the real ones? And you kind of go, why is that? You know, it's kind of like, wait, is Ken Blanchard in the chat room? I don't want him to gonna quit listening.
Yeah. So all of a sudden be like, hey, wait a minute. In fact, Audio Boo is now Audio Boom.
Yes.
And if you go to audioboom.com right now, you'll see he's got a couple podcasts out there that they're working with him on. They were very, very kind to me in providing another, you know, I basically have their highest level of a service. They approached me and said, hey, we'd really like to put you on Audio Boom. It was Audio Boo at the time. And so I took him up on, and that's the one we mentioned last week. I use the audio. They have a really sweet jukebox player that I use on my page. And for that alone, I think it's worth it. Just looks good. Branding's good type deal. And so that's one of those services that, you know, this week, let's see if I've got it here. I got contacted by Kingston. I don't do a lot of this kind of stuff. I mean, but Kingston contacted me and said, hey, we'd like you to review this 5-in-1. It's a 5-in-1 mobile companion. And you can, it's a hard drive and a battery and a Wi-Fi hotspot and all kinds of, all in one. And you can, so you load your movies to it. And this is what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually load podcasts to it. And I'm going to leave it in the car. And then when I'm driving, I'm going to stream the podcasts from here. I'm going to try and set it up so every time I come in the garage, it'll update. So we'll have to see how it goes. There's some stuff I need to figure out about it. But as a podcaster, they said, hey, we'd like to send you one of these, review it, drop it on your site. And I'm a tech podcaster, so that's what I do. But I don't ask for a lot of those things. I'm not one of those guys. I don't feel like I need to go. I have the time to go out and ask for stuff. I got enough stuff to do. But they're like, hey, can we send you one? And then they sent me some, so I could test it. They sent me some little SD card and a little. These guys are on the ball. They sent me everything I needed, a little flash drive and a little SD card for it. These aren't terribly expensive.
I'm waiting for it to come out, but I got interviewed by a local Cleveland Business Magazine this week about podcasting and how it can be used to.
Cool.
And he originally was looking for me. He goes, do you know any other Cleveland podcasters that are using it for their business? And I'm like, I know Cleveland podcasters, not that are using it for their business. He's like, well, how are you using it for your business? So it kind of turned into a story about me. And I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of cool. Here's another fun update. This is always fun to, on the Podcast for Free show, I'm using that one host. I've made, you ready? 73 cents. For 4,729 downloads. So let's see what that calculates per CPM. So 73 divided by 4,729 would be cost per thousand-ish. That can't be right. It says 1.54. It's like some sort of scientific number. It's so little. It's a lot. I know when I did it before, it was 0.05.
Yeah.
It was before, it was 0.005.
The goal there is to podcast for free.
Yeah.
And not make. I mean, that's
money.
Not going
to. I always tell people, Mike, hey,
well,
don't get mad when you make 73 cents, because
right.
You don't have a monthly fee.
Right. Yeah.
But
no, be smart on air on Monday night. So he was out earlier. I think he's out, but he's in Sweden. And so he's having me on to talk about using Google Hangouts and Google Hangouts on Air for your podcasting. So N-I-I-L-O, his last name, A-L, I couldn't pronounce this to him, A-L-H-O-V-A-A-R-A. We don't put two A-A's together. We don't put two A's.